Welcome to episode 75 of Talking Dairy. I'm your host, Jack McGowan. In today's podcast, we're talking with our scientist, Rhiannon Hancock, and dairy farmer, Michelle Burgess, about the latest in dairy genetics. How are farmers breeding more efficient cows? Why is genetic gain so important? Why are NZAEL's online tools so popular? And what's next in the pipeline for New Zealand dairy genetics and animal evaluation? Stay tuned to find out. Tēnā korua, welcome to the podcast, Rhiannon and Michelle. Rhiannon, thank you for joining us. Are you able to share a little bit about yourself, like what got you interested in animal genetics?
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having me. So I joined Dairy NZ in February this year. I've been working in the dairy industry since about 2015. My interest in dairy genetics is that it is the perfect combination of cows, science, and maths. All things that I'm very interested in. So yeah, genetics was an obvious choice for me. My role within Dairy NZ is with the NZAEL team, and we're centred around working with farmers and industry partners to improve accuracy of breeding values and breeding worth to ultimately provide farmers with the information that they need to maximise the rate of genetic gain in their herd and therefore the national dairy herd.
And can you give us a bit of a background on NZAEL and the work they do for dairy farmers?
NZAEL, New Zealand Animal Evaluation Limited, is a wholly owned subsidiary of Dairy NZ. And we have three key roles in the industry. The first one is we're custodians of the national database, which is called DIGAD. And that database holds all the cow and bull information that's required to produce breeding values for bulls and cows. Our second key role is that we set the national breeding objective. And so that's what traits go into breeding with and how they should be weighted against each other. And then the third one is we provide evaluations for all AE-enrolled dairy bulls. And this allows all bulls to be ranked against one another, regardless of which company is marketing them. So it puts them all on the same scale and enables farmers to choose what bull best suits their herds.
Michelle, thank you for joining us as well. Tell us about your farming background. What was your pathway to where you are today?
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm in the Waikato, and I quickly developed a passion for cows and genetics. I had a lot of input into Dad's contract cows and correspondence with LIC as a teenager. And then I went off to Massey University and studied agriculture. I met Bill and got married, and then we went farming together. We progressed through the ranks and ended up buying our first farm in 2016 when I was just 29. So that's been an exciting adventure. We've owned the herd now for 15 years, and it's at 320 cows, a Friesian-Friesian cross herd. We've evolved from a system one to system five. So we're now doing over 600 kilograms of milk solids per cow and about 2,100 per hectare. And we're in the top 5% for BW and PW. So yeah, and so Bill has supported my addiction to genetics and investing in good cows. We've got a lot of contract cows now. We've sold 23 bulls to AI companies, and we're also members of Holstein Friesian Association and Jersey NZ. So in 2016, I was invited to join the Farmer Advisory Panel for NZAEL. And it's a group of farmers that are passionate breeders, and we look at aspects of the science driving BW and things going into BW and through NZAEL. And we also analyse a lot of the proposed changes and updates and sort of do a bit of a common sense test, I guess, as farmers to make sure things match what's really going on in farm and sound logical to us as farmers. And we also can test some of the new BVs, the prototypes, against our cows and check that what's coming out matches what we know about each of our cows and our families and the bulls.
Excellent. And Rhiannon, so Michelle said she was invited to join that advisory panel. What are you looking for in the farmers that you bring into that panel?
Yeah, so we are looking for Michelle's farmers that are passionate about genetics and aren't afraid to question us and really challenge our thinking. Us as scientists, we can get very into the maths and what we see numbers when we are developing traits for BW or just new breeding values. And so having farmers that know their cows really well, know their cow families, know the bulls they've used, and they're able to say, like, what you've done here is, it looks a bit weird. Like, can you look into this specific group of cows further? And often we have found things we've missed that the farmer advisory panel have picked up on, and it's so valuable for us because, yeah, most of us are not dairy farmers. We rely on those very passionate dairy farmers to help us.
So back to you, Michelle. What's your strategy for your breeding program on your farm? What traits are you looking to breed into your herd and why?
Our farming system has probably evolved faster than our genetics could, moving to quite a high output cow at the moment. And we're primarily seeing udders as the key downfall at this level of production. So choosing bulls with udders suitable for a long life of high output is my primary target at the moment. And also protecting fertility. We want a moderate sized milky cow with good lactation persistency because we try and get as many days in milk as we can here. So we don't want cows that are going to dry themselves off too early. And generally just checking for correct conformation in terms of feet and legs and rumps and capacity with the bulls. You know, once they tick all those boxes, a lot of them also tick the production boxes. But yeah, just making sure they are still efficient in terms of what their production is and relative to their live weight as well. So yeah, and we've decided to move towards an F16 herd. So primarily just using F16 bulls and the odd crossbred over our yearlings for easy calving. Also easy calving bulls for a stress-free calving for us. And that should in turn promote good fertility for the subsequent mating. On the cow side of things, I think it's important to be critical and mate anything with too many issues to beef. So I think, you know, while we focus on picking bulls a lot, there's also have to be a bit ruthless with, you know, which cows we're keeping replacements from too. So we use a lot of beef. We get a lot of good results with sex semen in the last few years. So that's enabled me to get a lot of replacements out of our top families and just, yeah, be quite ruthless and mate anything that's subpar to beef. And I also have a list of cows that we won't even mate. We'll just leave empty if some of them have udders that are just not suitable to recalve again. So, yeah, that's us in a nutshell.
And it sounds like you're breeding replacements from your heifers. How long have you been doing that?
Yeah, we've been doing that since I can remember because they're obviously some of our top genetic stock. So, yeah, I usually synchronise half of them, and the last few years been using sex semen over them too, which is awesome to get a lot of heifer calves out of those high merit 2-year-olds and also reduce our wastage in terms of crossbred, like there's minimal crossbred bull calves coming out of them. So just trying to be very wary of the surplus calves, bull calves from our farm, trying to have an avenue for as many of them as possible, really.
You've been farming for quite some time. Looking back, what do you think's the most important sort of breeding decision or advance that you've made in that time?
There's lots of good bulls out there through all of the AI companies. For most farmers, you know, all those bulls are going to offer something and do a reasonably good job. And I just about think that working on the cow side of things and culling and getting management right to enable you to reduce wastage in terms of empties, keeping enough replacements, that sort of thing makes the biggest progress. Yeah, probably more so than, you know, whether you picked the bull A or bull B. I mean, for us, at this level of production, we're a bit unique in that udders has been a challenge, but that's a little, like the progress in our udders is a little bit limited by the generation gap as well.
It sounds like you're controlling as much as you can on farm, and you have a lot of trust for the bulls that are available and the evaluation of them.
Yeah, to a certain extent. I do for proven bulls. I guess at our level, we've got to be very picky. Like, I'm very aware of what our weaknesses are in our herd and finding the right bulls to correct that as fast as possible without sacrificing other important traits. And that will look different on other people's herds depending on their system and their output and what sort of base herd they're starting with.
So I often hear a surprising insight out of all of the web pages on the Dairy NZ website, the NZAEL tools are the most visited. So Rhiannon, tell us more about these tools and why they're so popular with farmers.
Yeah, so we've got three great tools that we put out there every AE run. Yeah, we do an AE run about every month. So that's getting the new information, so new herd tests, new calving dates come into the system, and then we rerun all the traits in BW and re-rank all the animals. So our three tools are, we have what's called the RAS list, or the Ranking of Active Sires list. We have a bull search, and then we have the bull team builder. So our RAS list is the list of top ranking proven dairy bulls according to their BW. And so we have a list of the top 30 across breed each AE run. And then we also list the top bulls by breed. So we have a Jersey list and a Holstein Friesian list, a crossbred list, and then our other breeds are grouped together in our final list. The bull search, so that has all the AE enrolled bulls in them. So I think there's about 27,000 maybe that we have enrolled in AE. So we get BW and all the breeding values for all those bulls. And so you can just search by bull name or AB code and you'll be able to find any bull that we have enrolled. And you can filter on individual traits that you're interested in, as well as BW, to find the top ranking bulls that will help you with your breeding goals. And so bringing those two lists together is what we call our bull team. And so any bull on the website has a little button next to his name that says add. And so you can add him to your team, and then that will show you the average of that team and provides it against a benchmark. So you can see how your team would stack up to the average on the herd. So yeah, those three tools are very well used. They're quite easy. You just search in Google, bull search, Dairy NZ, and should pop up.
And the URLs for those tools are all linked in the show notes on the Dairy NZ website. So Michelle, how often are you checking out these tools? And if you already know, what bulls are you looking at or have selected for next season and why?
I'm one of the frequent visitors to the bull search page. Yeah, I'll go on there quite a lot as I'm trying to knuckle down and choose bulls for our herd mating each year. And then also we do a bit of embryo transfer work throughout the year. So whenever that's coming up, I'll be back on there to do another search for the specific cows that we're going to flush. And then also throughout the year, I'll go on to check our own bulls that we've bred and see how they're progressing after certain AE runs. That's always quite exciting too. So the bulls that I've picked, I haven't put my orders in yet, but I'm sort of in the process of shortlisting bulls because we're autumn calving, so we start mating in June. So I'm hoping to get some of our own bull, Burgess Plato, sexed to use on our yearlings. He's at LIC. And LIC also have a young bull called Crusader, who I'm interested in too. I also like the look of Octave, who's a Holstein at CRV. And I have some straws of Atrium from Salmon. He's a really good low-stature bull, Holstein bull that suits us and will be good to bring the size down on some of our taller cows. Might use them as an easy calving option on our yearlings as well. And then I've got Einstein and a few others from C-Mix and Worldwide Sires. So quite a range, and we've got good relationships with all the breeding companies really, and just looking for the bulls that are going to really suit our herd and improve our cows.
It sounds like come mating time that's quite complicated. How do you manage all of that?
Yeah, I try and keep my AB technician happy. So I do run my own bull of the day system with our bulls and try and keep it simple. So there'll be my main bull that I've picked for the day who will go over the majority of the cows. And then if there's an elite contract cow or something like that, she'll go to the bull that she needs to go to. And then there'll be a group of cows going to beef as well. So, yeah, prefer to keep it to 3 or 4 bulls per day.
Very smart. So far we've talked about decisions at the front end of breeding, so sire selection and actually getting cows and calf. What about when the calves hit the ground? Rhiannon, talk to us about the accuracy or the value in accurate record keeping.
Yeah, so would you believe that there are 5 times more calves born on the 1st of August than on the 2nd of August? That's what our database tells us. So birth date is linked to the calving date of a cow. And when a farmer enters that calving date, that data flows through to us in DIGAD for national evaluation. So we all have a responsibility throughout the industry to get good information into the national evaluation. Better quality data will give us better quality outputs, so better quality BW, and so you'll be able to make much better decisions. And calving is the busiest time on farm, and so it makes sense that it is not easy to do that accurate and timely recording of things like calving date. But it does have an impact. It impacts pretty much every single breeding value. It either uses the calving date, so gestation length, for example. We use it to determine parentage. So the calving date of a cow, we match that back to the mating date, and that's the sire for the calf born. And so if you have the wrong sire to your calf, then your BW is going to be not what it should be for that calf based on just having the wrong sire or the wrong breed, for example. From the farmer side, making sure that we are collecting that accurate calving date and any other data that you collect, having that responsibility. And I get it, it is hard, but right now is a good time if you're spring calving to come up with a system that works for you. Some that I've heard of that I think are quite cool ideas is like a WhatsApp group. If you've got like a number of staff collecting calves and you just type in the like cow 38 had a heifer and you just send that to the group, and then that's a running tally all season for every calf that's born and when. Another one is just sending a text to your partner at home. So yeah, it's accurate collecting of that data. On the herd record provider side, it's about having an easy and quick system that farmers can use to input that data. And we've definitely seen, so that difference between the 1st of August and 2nd of August, it's getting closer together in recent years. So that shows that there's definitely been a change in attitude or ability to be able to collect those calving dates and input them into a system. So all the apps that are available now seems to be making a difference. So that's, yeah, one part of the responsibility, herd record providers. And then on my side, the scientists in the database, coming up with rules about what is and is not good quality data that's suitable for evaluation. So all the cows calving on the exact same day in a herd is not good quality information. We can't tell you who's better or worse in your herd if they're all calved on the same day. We don't know. It's a bit of a boring topic, data quality, but hopefully I've made it a bit more interesting and convinced you that it is something that we as an industry should be taking responsibility and getting excited about.
And Michelle, I suspect you are someone that is excited about that. So what do you do over calving to ensure your records are accurate?
We put neck bands on all calves born, regardless of their gender. Our staff, we have a WhatsApp farm group, so our staff, if they're tagging calves or checking the springers, they'll record everything they see and just send it to the group. I've got the records there, and then I have the old-fashioned yellow notebook, put everything into that. And then when we're collecting the calves from the springers, we'll get them all on the trailer, and then I'll go through them all and make sure, you know, like, does this make sense? If I have time, I'll look up, or I just know what each cow was in calf to. So just making sure, you know, if there's a Charolais calf, is it matched to the cow that wasn't calf to Charolais? So that's quite an easy one to work out. So I do catch a few errors sometimes doing it that way. And then we tag them a few days later once the replacements are drinking well and I'm sure that I want to keep her. We'll tag her, update my yellow notebook. I try and enter the carvings into Minder, double check things then as well. We also, we've been doing for a few years whole herd DNA testing. Probably when we were leasing and had 700-800 cows, and 30 to 40 cows calving a day, you get there in the morning and there's just no way you can guarantee that you're going to have things right. One time we had two cows calving in a paddock and they went, it was a long paddock, they went 300 metres apart from each other. One cow calved, we put a neck band on it and then came back an hour later to check on the other and she had calved. And they were still at opposite ends of the paddock, but they had somehow swapped, she'd calved, gone to the other mother, they'd traded calves and gone back to their position. So if we hadn't tagged that first calf, you would never think that they would have swapped calves. So it's amazing what goes on behind the scenes when nobody's looking. I would never have expected that, and that sort of just locked in the idea of DNA testing the whole herd, which, you know, is because I'm so into genetics, I just love the idea of having everything as accurate as possible for generations as well. But also we try not to do night checks during calving and keep things as simple for us and our management, so it takes the pressure off that. Knowing that if we do get it a bit wrong, the DNA will correct the records.
And if you know, what percentage of calves come back with it, like that there's been a mistake, they've been matched to the wrong parent?
Yeah, I always have a look. It's always really interesting. I haven't worked out the percentage, but it's usually only one or two or three calves a year. And it's usually on days where there's been twins or multiple twins. One year we even had triplets. So, yeah, I didn't know it was triplets until the DNA came back. That's usually what messes us up. But with 320 cows, it's much easier. Back when we were 700-800 cows and you'd come in the morning and there'd be 20 new calves running around at peak in the mud and when we were spring calving, there's no way we'd get them right.
Rhiannon, what's a sort of typical percentage of misparenting, misrecording on most farms?
Mismothering, maybe?
Oh, yeah, mismothering.
Yeah, I think it's about 20% is a number that I've heard float around, but we could probably get some stats from GeneMark on what they're getting lately. But yeah, I think 20% is about the average, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
And like Michelle said, like you'd have no idea. It's not because you're not good at recording your calves. It's just cows are sneaky.
Yeah. And that's partly why we've used identifiable beef breeds on our poor cows, because that way there's just no way that we're going to accidentally rear a heifer calf from those cows.
There's nothing worse than discovering several months down the track that you've reared an Angus cross, thinking it's a crossbreed. So, Rhiannon, what's next in the pipeline for NZAEL and dairy genetic improvements in New Zealand?
Yeah, so our big project at the moment is bringing genomic information into our valuations. So up until now, BW that we publish on our website has been based on pedigree and progeny performance data only. So over the last couple of years, we've been collecting genotypes and phenotypes on over 60,000 cows to help form our reference population for our genomic evaluation. Currently, we're undergoing validation of those models with some international animal breeding experts and also our farmer advisory panel. So a number of our FAP members were part of that reference population. So we went out to their herds and collected tissue samples on their cows. And so we're getting them to look at the individual breeding values for their genotyped cows and give us a bit of feedback to make sure that when we do go live with our genomic evaluations, they are the best that we can get them and that, yeah, our farmers are on board with it. The reason why we're bringing genomics in is that, as I said earlier, our valuations are across company. So when you look up on the DairyNZ website, you're comparing bulls across any company on the same scale. And so currently, LIC and CRV use genotype information to rank their own bulls, but you can't easily compare across those companies if you, like Michelle, and use bulls from a range of different companies. So it's an important step for the industry to bring that genomic technology into NZAEL to enable farmers to compare younger bulls before they get daughter information from any company. And so that's our big project that we're working on right now. Other things that we are doing, we're always looking to improve accuracy of breeding values. So some of the things we're looking into are earlier sources of information. So fertility is a really big one for us, looking at how we could incorporate pregnancy diagnosis information. We have a project looking at age at puberty and anogenital distance as two early indicator measures for fertility. And we're also doing a bit of a revamp of our calving difficulty and gestation length evaluations. And so, yeah, we're busy.
Michelle, what excites you most about the updates that Rhiannon's just talked about?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I think if we can get genomics accurate enough and get a large enough reference population, I think that'll be pretty exciting. That'll open up a lot of new options or just, you know, create a few changes in some of the bulls that we are considering.
Thank you. And thank you both so much for talking with us today, Michelle and Rhiannon. Rhiannon telling us more about what NZAEL is doing for farmers. And Michelle, really appreciate you coming on and sharing how you use those tools and how you manage it all on farm and your passion for breeding cows that, you know, last in the herd and go the distance for your business. Thank you so much. Mā te wā, noho ora mai.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Talking Dairy. Check the show notes on where to go for more information on this topic. And if you have any ideas on future episodes, please send an email to talkingdairy@dairynz.co.nz.